Solution Hotline, the only man I know in the entire world who picked this Final Four, Doug Brodess of BleacherReport.com. Doug, incredible. Incredible performance.
Boy, you must have got one of my other brackets because I only have Louisville still in.
Oh, Doug. See, the Super Cop story was working. You got to go with it. You got to work with
well,
it.
Well, you know, I wish that I had done a better job, but boy, the Sweet 16, it really messed me up.
It was bizarre. Yeah, I had a lot of guys that fell by the wayside this weekend. They needed, like, Indiana to get through, Duke to get through, that kind of thing. I'm like you. Louisville's the only team I had left. We did have two people at our station out of about 30 brackets filled out that had two teams in the Final Four. That was the best. A couple guys, one guy had Syracuse and Louisville, one guy had Michigan and Louisville. So it's been a wild tournament. It's been an interesting tournament. When's the last time you've seen a comeback like you saw by Michigan against Kansas the other night? When's the last time you saw something like that in a situation like that with so much on the line?
I don't remember that there. You know, I've seen there's a lot of examples over the years as far as, you know, a really good team playing against a team that's been inconsistent come roaring back and even the score. But with really two high-level teams, I don't remember that kind of a collapse, that kind of a comeback in a that kind of a game any time recent. And I had the privilege of just actually being there courtside. I was covering the game, and it was fantastic. I mean, I guess if you're a Michigan fan, it was fantastic. But if you weren't rooting for either team, just a great game.
Did you go in for the post game?
Yeah, I did.
And I haven't heard any of his comments, and we sort of blew by it because we had all the Elite Eight games to get to the Final Four this weekend. But what was Bill Self's explanation for what went wrong and what he would have done differently if he had any?
Well, I guess the one good thing is that he didn't sidestep personal responsibility or anything. He said, you know, there's decisions that I might make differently. I think one of the things that he had talked about was that coming down the stretch, Ben McLemore, unfortunately, because of what he was doing maybe on the defensive end, was not as available on the offensive end. And so that was, you know, one of the issues. You know, they went away from the first half really pounding it inside. In fact, I think about 34 of their 40 points in the first half were in the paint and not nearly that high percentage in the second half. In fact, I asked the question about that, and he said, you know, they were still, you know, still working that. They hadn't moved away from that, but just weren't having the same success in the second half as they were going, you know, through the first half.
Doug Brodess, BleacherReport.com, joining us in the zone. One of the big stories, I guess, this today has been Louisville's performance in the second half following the injury to Ware with the leg snap. It was as
gruesome,
yeah, as we've ever seen, I guess. And then for them to go on that run, and really, I mean, the team that looked shell shocked was Duke. I mean, when they went on that run there, I think it was like a 22-6 run, maybe late in the game, for them to put it out of reach.
Well, that's the kind of thing that you just never know what's going to happen in a game when you have that extreme of a situation. In this case, it was a player injury, but that is one of the things that you just never know when there's a stoppage of play and then teams jump back in. And I was very surprised that Louisville was able to stay mentally and emotionally in that game like they did. In fact, that may have been the springboard, odd as that may seem, as that may have even helped them to really focus, because at least from the comments that were made, both from Rick Pitino and the team, they were on a mission to win that game for Kevin Ware.
Doug, two Big East teams in this Final Four. Is this a pretty perfect swan song for the conference that is disintegrating at the end of this season?
Well, it definitely is something that kind of validates the quality of the conference as far as what it's been. I guess the sad thing is that both of those teams will be departing. And from that standpoint, definitely is not a positive thing for the future, but definitely speaks well of what the Big East has been and even what it is this season.
Doug Brodess of BleacherReport.com joining us, the lead college basketball writer. So the Final Four is set. It is Saturday. I am thrilled to announce that I'll be watching it with Chris Kane, among other people. Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite, which isn't shocking, I guess. I was just a little bit surprised. The way Syracuse has played defensively, holding not one but two teams under 40 points in this tournament, the way they're playing defensively, I was a little surprised it wasn't even, or maybe Syracuse is a slight favorite. And then a 10.5-point line in the Wichita State-Louisville game. What do you expect to see this weekend?
I'm not real surprised with either of those, just from the standpoint of I think that Michigan has the kind of players that can break down that zone instead of just trying to shoot over the top. Yeah, even though with Nick Stauskas' game yesterday, unbelievable shooting, I don't know that that's how they're going to rely on trying to attack the Syracuse zone. I think that they're going to still look to do what was their strength this year, which was penetration. They would slash and gash defenses as good as anybody, and I really think that that's what they'll look to do. Is that they're still maybe kind of a penetrate and kick, you know, strategy, but I don't think that they're just going to try to stay out on the perimeter and shoot over the top of it, because most teams that doesn't work too well on that. In fact, you go back to the second half of the Big East tournament, the championship game, and Louisville broke open that game because they got inside that zone. And they really, what they did was they put somebody at the high post. They got something there and let them work from the high post instead of necessarily just trying to shoot long distance. Because unless you're just making all your shots, that's just a recipe for failure usually when you're playing Syracuse.
Yeah, the question is going to be, what kind of game will McGarry have? He could be a key, and he certainly played very well yesterday, and they shot it well. So I don't know. I would tend to lean towards Syracuse as much as I'd love to see Michigan win. So we'll see. What about? Let me ask you this way. What percentage chance do you give Wichita State to beat Louisville?
Well, I guess, I'm a glass half full guy, so I'll admit that first. I do believe that any team, you know, when it comes down to games like this, they have a chance. One of the other teams that I got to cover in the South region here in the Dallas area was Florida Gulf Coast, and I think they proved that, you know, early in the tournament, that they can be playing against teams that are really on paper far superior, but they're still had a chance because of coming in playing confidently. I got to tell you, I have been impressed not just this year but over the last couple of years with Greg Marshall at Wichita State, and I think he will have his team ready. I don't think that they will come in just absolutely scared. And so from that standpoint, if they can withstand Louisville's press and pressure, I think that it could be a game. If they turn the ball over considerably, then it could definitely go quickly towards the Cardinals' direction.
Greg Marshall's a guy, Doug, that in the past 6 years he's won 25 or more games, I think four times. You guys had a great write-up on BleacherReport.com kind of breaking down all the different teams. Is this a guy that, you know, this solid tournament run, but also with the resume over the past several years, that could make a jump after this season if any jobs become available? Or is he pretty entrenched there at Wichita State?
Well, I think that he has, you know, he has talked a lot about commitment to the program, loves being there. But I also think that he is a coach that will, as you just said, you know, because of his, you know, longstanding resume, not just a sparkling season, he's a guy who I think is going to be looked at as someone who can lead a program. And so when you're talking about whether it's the Minnesota job, maybe even USC, those would be programs that might be looking at somebody like that, even maybe him going out taking the New Mexico job. And so from that standpoint, we probably only begin to see some of the coaching carousel moves, but I do think that Greg Marshall would be one of those that he's going to have to probably make a statement early on, either I'm staying here and stop that, or he's going to be in the mix of that because he is that kind of coach.
If he leaves Wichita State to go to New Mexico, I'm going to fly out there and slap those silly glasses off his face, because that would be the dumbest move ever. I'm with you, though. I think he's got a good move ahead of him, Chris, with the success he's had. And it is it is curious to see how that goes. And these guys always profess their commitment to their program, just like Steve Alford did. I mean, until somebody offers them a better deal. I'm committed until I get a better offer, and then I might not be so committed. And I can't fault him. I mean, hey, look, if –
do what's best for you, right?
Look, if a top 10 station rolls in here and offers me a better gig, I'm outie.
Peace.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys. I learned a lot.
Well, I know that, you know, one of the interesting things I just saw this morning, that Andy Enfield, the Florida Gulf Coast coach, is reportedly there's interest from USC. And, you know, even, again, just assessing it from a financial standpoint, he's being paid less than $200,000 at Florida Gulf Coast. And if USC, which you'd think that they're going to pay a pretty decent salary, he could be looking at a 10 times jump in salary. And I know that everybody talks about loyalty and various things, but I would say that most people in whatever profession that they're in, they are offered 10 times the money to go someplace else. They'd be hard pressed to say, I'm committed here, I'm loyal here, I'm staying. if they had that kind of opportunity.
Most people I know, Doug, would go for a 3% raise. Are you kidding me? 10 times? Yeah. They're pretty much.
That's true.
He's unique, and his wife is unique because they've made a lot of money in their careers outside of basketball. So it would be – it's not as significant a thing. Plus, they're in a very nice community from a weather standpoint.
It is beautiful down there.
There is some upside there. But, yeah, being in Los Angeles and 10 times the money would be hard to say no to be able to be in a major conference and really compare yourself to others. And if he's all about competition, which I'm assuming he is because that's the reason you do what he's done when you leave a successful business venture to go and coach at a a huge pay cut, he wants to test himself against the best, and that would be an opportunity to coach himself at least against better than what he has on a weekly basis where he is now. So we'll see how it plays out. How about some quick picks before we let you go?
Well, I think that if I'm looking at the two games, I do believe that Louisville is going to come out on top in the game against Wichita State. It's hard for me to see them lose all the momentum that they've gained. One of the amazing things that they've done is they're shooting about 10% better than they were during the season. And so if they can carry that over, they're not only going to do well in that first game, but they're also going to be hard to stop even in the championship game. Second game, as far as from the standpoint of Syracuse versus Michigan, I do believe that if Michigan can do anything as far as breaking down so they're not trying to just shoot over the top, I do think that they have an advantage because offensively they have too many weapons. And so if they can get inside of that zone, break that down a little, I think that they're going to have some success. And so I'm with the current Final Four, I'm going to say the championship game is Louisville versus Michigan, but with Louisville coming out on top.
Well, let's wait. We'll let you assess that on Monday. We'll get your championship pick officially on Monday. So we'll see how – maybe if Louisville only wins by one and Michigan wins by 30, you may change your thought process.
It's possible, yeah, because I would not have picked this Final Four even out of the Elite Eight.
Yeah, me either. So, yeah, that's the thing. I think there's more likelihood that Michigan will score 30 than that they win by 30 playing against Syracuse.
You're probably right.
All right. Well, Doug, we appreciate the time very much, man. Thanks so much. And like Chris said, lots of great coverage around the tournament and other sports on BleacherReport.com. Doug, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right.
All right. Take care.